Gamertag Radio presents E3 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
Okay, guys, welcome to our Techland booth. My name is Anna, and I'm the communication team manager at Techland. I just want to say that we are incredibly excited to show you our Dying Light 2 demo. And this is Cornel, one of our producers, and this is Jacek, the best Dying Light 2 player in the world. So guys, the stage is yours.
Okay, welcome everyone to the first day of E3, and I'm gonna sit in the back and guide you through the short presentation before the actual hands-off demo, okay? So I'm gonna be there, and you're gonna hear only my voice, so don't panic. As you probably know, we announced Dying Light 2 at last year's E3, and we showed you the new biggest element the new biggest element of Dying Light 2, which is the narrative sandbox. Your ability to make choices that have massive consequences on the game itself, from how it looks, to how it plays, to the events that occur. Today we want to focus on how these choices manifest themselves within an immersive story. We will show you a new part of the city, explaining the idea of the modern Dark Ages in more depth. We will talk about how the infection and the infected have evolved since the first game, and we will present you new ways of dealing with any challenges, combat and parkour that may stand in your path. Dying Light 2 takes place in a unique vision of post-apocalyptic Dark Age, grim and primal, but set within the boundaries of the modern city. Buildings that remind you of castles, weapons from a time past, and a society looking for survival at all costs. This is what you will experience here today. The city is divided into 7 very different regions, and each one is a truly unique environment that introduces new parkour moves, new enemies, and new gameplay mechanics. What you see here today takes place in what's called District 2. In the demo, you will see how you make choices that impact both the city and the game's narrative in colossal way. As you play the game, you will make tough decisions and hard sacrifices, and you'll have to face their consequences even if they happen to be unexpected. You'll reveal or destroy whole locations, save or kill important NPCs, and when you finish the game, you'll see perhaps 50% of the content. But this is still Dying Light, and we've taken the brutal combat and fluid parkour from the first game and push it forward in all possible ways. Expect new offensive and defensive combat skills, new traversal moves, and new ways to connect both of them together. We've also added or improved many gameplay tools, like, for example, grappling hook or modded weapon, so you can get even more creative with destruction. It is important, as Dying Light 2 takes place 15 years after the original game, so it is only makes sense that the infection that changes people into monsters has evolved. You'll see new types of the infected, new behaviors, and new ways to find them, including improved UV light mechanics. In Dying Light 2, you play as Aiden Caldwell, a survivor in a city where everyone is infected, including him. He's about to take part in a mission that is a crucial moment in Dying Light 2's narrative. It is connected to last year's E3 demo and showcases one of the many problems you'll face in the game. The city is on the brink of collapse as drinking water is just about to end in a day. The demo starts in Efficiae, a tavern where the survivors of the city met. It is owned by our friend and a guide, Frank, who believes the only person that can solve the problem is the Colonel. A man with a bad reputation who leads a group called the Renegades out of the city pumping station. Frank is a man of the people, and he believes this can still work out for everybody. He uses his status to call a meeting between the Renegades and the officers from the two main factions that operates in the city, Juan Reiner from the Scavengers and Jack Matt from the Peacekeepers. There's a tension between these two, so things can get ugly. And Aiden? Aiden is just about to join the others. Track or stay with Frank. This is an action game, so we need to act on our instincts.
Just keep him alive.
Now run! Damn it! Run!
Hold on, Frank.
Okay, let's chase the track and see what consequences that brings. The track is gone, but this tall building looks like a great vantage point. Let's find a way up there. See, the life is booming on the rooftops. Something that you can actually change in the game.
Hey, have you got the truck yet?
Not yet. Matt?
Can you see the truck?
I'm looking. That's Frank.
Can't find the doctor. But don't think about that now. I'm on it.
I have it. I'll get them for this, Matt.
Just keep your cool, kid. Remember, what matters is the water.
Okay, the track is so far away. This needs something special. A grappling hook. And a paragliding. And this is actually very useful here in District 2. Let's try to land it. With a roll, nice. Immortal drop kick. Dynamic environment.
We're working here.
Wall run, wall jump. Nice. Go, 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 go. Be careful. Your fall using infected. Okay. Four jump. Right. Speed up, speed up. Empty bar.
Look out!
Another one. Long, so we need to hurry up.
viaduct.
Over to Trent.
Okay, on my way.
Be careful, Aiden. The Colonel, he's a psycho. He doesn't resurrect.
Neither do I.
Okay, this is our chance.
Just drive.
I was doing nothing, man. Just chilling. And bam, suddenly everyone's clawing at each other like fucking rats. You mind? Can't help but this sober. So much to see a gun, I shit myself. It's like a disability, you know? This one time I saw this guy knife two dudes in the metro, straight up stabbed them, then pulled out a grenade.
How much longer?
It was a fucking grenade, man. I thought it was dead.
Why did you shoot Frank?
I didn't shoot nobody. Must have been some kind of fuck up, man. Was he your friend? Of course he fucking was. You gonna kill me?
Hey, pick up your fucking stoner.
Say everything is fine.
I'm here, you bitches! Where the hell you been, right?
You coming in?
Yeah, he's on his... everything's fine.
Just don't screw up the code. Someone will finally get to shoot you.
Guys, I love you.
Get a bigger ass clear of this.
What is the code?
Three horns. No. Three horns.
You better get it right.
So this is where the Colonel resides. It seems we are entering the heart of darkness. So just to recap, the city is out of drinking water and people believe only the Colonel can solve this. We tried to talk with his emissaries, but something went wrong. It's time to talk to this guy first. The fate of the city is in our hands now.
Is wrong.
Without him and the code, getting in would be much more difficult.
They're gonna kill me!
Steve!
I have to raise the alarm!
Don't even try, or I'll come back for you.
Like too many of them there. Let's find another entrance. This window looks promising. One guard there. Looks easy. Let's keep it quiet.
6.
What's with the butcher thing? All I see is regular people. Huh. Now, I should talk to the colonel.
The time for talk is over. Frank's dead. You there? Peyton.
So, this is real. Our friend Frank is dead. If we had chosen to stay with him, perhaps this story would look totally different. But now, this raises the stakes for all of this.
Nothing to fear. So you've come to kill me, have you?
I've come to turn on the pumps.
I won't let you do that. Where's Frank?
He's dead.
Dead? How?
Your man shot him.
Wait, Sam. You saw it happen? You saw my man shoot?
No, Matt did.
Matt? I sent 5 men. Where are they?
Peyton! What's happening?
Look, we can count bodies later. The city's waiting for water.
Stop! Water? You can't turn on the water from here. They played us, don't you understand?
Don't listen to him. Turn on the pump!
You do know what he wants, right? He wants you to kill me, open the doors, and let his butchers in. You want water for the city? I know how to get it, but you've got to trust me.
For fuck's sake, he killed Frank.
and we have another important choice to make. The Colonel looks like he knows what he's talking about, but can we trust him? On the other hand, we really need that drinking water, and we need it today.
I'm turning on those pumps.
What a pity.
Steal his weapon.
Nice.
This is another new tool for this night. The Scorpio. Basically one shots your enemies. But when you're out of ammo, you can turn it into a two-handed mace. Let's use some parkour. That's a big guy. Normal attacks doesn't work. Let's try to combine some parkour with attacks. Okay, he still counters. Let's try to use more parkour. And the last words.
I'm alive, but the Colonel's getting away.
Fuck him. The water's what matters.
I'm turning on the pumps.
Each pump should have its own valve. Fine.
So let's turn them. This is what Frank wants us to do. To make choices that have massive consequences on the whole city, the sandbox space of your game. Turning on the pumps reveals a huge open world region for you to explore, with new mechanics, new quests, and new things to find. It also changes the direction of the narrative. The Colonel was right. There really was a plot against him. that the area was flooded for a reason. Thank you for watching the E3 game of Dying Light 2.
So guys, just a short question. Did you like it?
Yeah!
Thank you guys, and we have game director of Dying Light 2, Adrian Ciszewski, for you to answer your several questions.
So,
okay, that's my place.
Yeah, that's your place.
You want
to
mind?
Yeah, it's the first question.
Yeah. So,
well, in a sec, that would be, yeah,
would be better.
Better.
It would be helpful.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so now because of those choices, the story changes everything, so... the only opportunity to change that, you just gotta restart the game all over again and try to see what happens from there, or how that, or can I go back and...
It's like, this? When you make a choice, you need to live with those consequences, but it's not like it's always 0-1, so like you make a choice and it's your friend dies and you don't know what to do. It's always this series of choices that you can do. There is always a way to go back. And even if it's happened, if it's gonna happen, you can kind of continue the journey of Frank, but kind of different, you know, can overpass some of the things, but still your game will look very different than the game of your friend who make a different decision at the very beginning, yeah? Because no, there's no Frank, maybe the cantina will go down and there will be no people inside, I don't know,
So sometimes
you can do things and overpass the problems, but there's still a serious consequences that you need to live with.
So I will miss a lot of those quests too.
Actually, if we at Techland were thinking that if you're buying a game about choices and consequences, you actually want to lose the content. Yeah, that's the part of the experience. Yeah, because that's the code. Therefore, the consequence is meaningful. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah.
So is it less of you're trying to tell an overarching story and more about the player making their own story throughout the world?
Yeah. Correct. It's like, we can't tell you too much about that, but there is a story, you know, of Aiden Caldwell that is entering the city and there is a conflict that he needs to resolve. But just by living in the city, he's actually learning the rules of the city, see different problems of the city. Eventually, he might turn and change the direction of the narrative in the way he wants. And because the Aiden is actually for us a vessel, and the moral compass is a player, so your Aiden, my Aiden, your Aiden might be a different guy in our game. Yeah?
A different Aiden.
Different Aiden.
Anybody else?
Come on,
we are
come on,
good,
shoot.
Really? Come on, guys, shoot us. We
so
are here for you.
You showed that you can use weapons from other enemies, so you can use any other weapon that is in the game.
Yeah.
And utilize it for yourself.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Is there any kind of like upgrading, building upon that?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's much more complicated, maybe it's not a good word, complex than in Dying Light 1, because we change a lot on the combat side to make it more tactical, because of that it's also more rewarding for you, because you feel more satisfaction if something happening the way you want. So the crafting takes a big role in this combat part of the game. So it's more complex and gives you more opportunities to feel the satisfaction when you're killing monsters.
Yeah. How's that different from the first game?
Well, the big thing about that is like, of course, we have a lot of skills to unlock. But besides that, we also have something called avatar of the player, so his body, his outfit. So you can upgrade also the avatar, so you can have this grappling hook or paraglider you've seen in a demo. So it's all the part of the upgrading of your hero. And the third layer of the upgrades is, of course, the city, which is also the character of the game. When you're really making a decision on a gameplay set, on the story set, and the story and the world evolve, it gives you a lot of opportunity weapons, for example, on the gameplay side, if you're talking about moment-to-moment gameplay. So it's those two three things that together or creates the immersive experience of the combat in Dying Light 2.
Yeah, and yeah, of course, yeah, your part.
It's right now we think it's like around 15 hours, 20,
let's say the exact number is like a AAA standard, let's say, but we have players that spent over 4,000 hours in the first game, and we believe it's going to be the same here.
And that's actually something that is very connected with this narrative sandbox we're creating, because every time we know people who are playing Dying Light 1 and we're asking them where you are in the game, and they say, oh, we are in the Pact with Rise quest lap 4. So they like have a first lap of the game. So right now those laps will be different because of the choices they can make. So that's a really great advantage of Dying Light 2 between the first one. Yeah, sure. Last year we introduced the something we call narrative sandbox, and it means that you're learning the rules. It's not only about the narrative bits you learn from the quest, but also from the gameplay thing. So sometimes you can influence by gameplay the narrative, and narrative can influence the gameplay. So it's like very much connected. You can do some certain actions, certain activities in the world, or killing certain people from certain faction, and it will influence the narrative too. So it's... Sorry for super high level answer, but I really don't want to ruin your experience when the game will be.
Yeah, go ahead.
How many factions are there? And
well, we have two major.
Okay, a reputation system?
It's can't tell you too much about that. There is something.
You can if you want.
I was not allowed to talk too much about that.
So maybe I will say it is not really about connecting factions, it's about playing with them in a city. Like, you can help them solve their problems, you can be yourself in a game, but you are not just connecting one faction or the other.
Okay.
You have to like figure out the problems between them, help them figure out their problems, and that's the way we want the player to play.
But mainly we have two big factions in the game, Peacekeepers and Scavengers, and a lot of communities. But they really have different agendas and really call for one of the community was the, for example, the Renegades. So that's community, one of the community in our game.
Okay, so very last question.
So based on your choices, is that going to benefit you with the people who support you or go against you, and how that would change the story too?
As I mentioned before, so there are certain actions that you can do with people, and it will influence the gameplay. They can help you sometimes. For example, they can save you when you are under attack. They can build UV spots in the exploration during the night, that therefore you can dive even deeper into the exploration. They can revive you when you die, for example, in a place that you actually lose conscious. So there are a lot of things that's going to happen.
So my last thing. So the people will recognize you from far, like, okay, that's based on your
choice.
Yeah,
there's something around that.
Okay, cool.
Okay,
because
you
are this hero, this world somehow, so the more you do, the more people. There is a system we call whispering, the survivors are talking, so it gives you this feedback about where you are in the world. There's a guy who's doing things like that.
Okay.
Somebody killed a man. No, it took 10 people to do that. It shouldn't be one man, and it actually was one man. It was good. Feel good about that. So those kind of systems are there.
Don't you guys want to ask about the hand in the end?
Yeah, hand in the end.
Yeah.
That was a new type of the zombie, actually, that appears from the war. So that somebody flooded the part of the city from Risen. So it's a new guy to kick.
Okay. I think that we are good now. So now is the time.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.